Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Analysis latest UN climate change negotiations without meaningful results to combat crisis. The G7 countries have signaled their agreement on the importance of tackling climate change eventually, but haven't announced any meaningful action. The emission cuts they promised are less than half of what climate science recommends and justice requires, said climate change and energy campaigner at Friends of the Earth Europe, Susan Sherbarth. We are on a path to a disastrously empty deal in Paris this December, but ordinary people are making the energy transformation that our governments have failed to, added the activist on June the 11th, at the end of a new round of UN negotiations on climate change that took place in Bonn, Germany, according to a press release issued by Friends of the Earth International. Sherbarth was in Bonn and followed closely the negotiations and also participated in the parallel activities organized by Friends of the Earth. The press release issued by the Environmental Federation also stated why the leaders of the world's seven industrial powers, the G7, made lofty statements this week about a fossil fuel phase-out by the end of this century, politicians actually negotiating key issues of the planned UN Treaty on Climate Change failed to make real progress in Bonn. Real World Radio interviewed Sherbarth to know more about the results of the latest climate change talks.
Real World Radio has the great pleasure of being in contact with Susan Sherbarth. She is climate campaigner of Friends of the Earth Europe and has been participating for a few days in the last UN negotiations on climate in Bonn, Germany. Susan, very, very welcome to Real World Radio.
Hello, thanks a lot.
Susan, the last day of the negotiations, Friends of the Earth International sent out a press release in which the Federation warns that in the negotiations in Bonn, not enough progress was made towards a fair and adequate climate treaty, which is supposed to be finalized and reached in Paris, in France, at the end of this year. What are the aspects and the things that you, Susie, would underline explaining why Friends of the Earth International think it was not enough, that not enough progress was made in Bonn?
Thank you very much, Jose. Yes, indeed, we were rather negative in our response to the negotiations happening in Bonn just a few days ago. And I think specifically what you said starting, that we saw a very slow progress. So on the one side, we saw there was, maybe you heard about the current text they are negotiating is quite long. So all the options from all the different countries are in, which is important. So also the climate justice related elements, which are important for us. And they were so-called streamlined at the Bonn negotiations. And so to reduce really the text and to start negotiating about the crucial content. And what we saw was a very slow progress on that. So the text was reduced on the one side only to a few pages.
So we actually have only 10 days left for the negotiations until the climate negotiations, the COP in Paris, when we want to reach or to agree to a kind of a fair and ambitious international climate agreement. And so that means actually really this very limited time makes quite a big pressure, or puts quite a big pressure on all the countries and including the developing countries. And I think especially why we are very disappointed currently is if you look currently on the kind of text which is under discussion and to be negotiated, that would mean, if we see that for the Paris talks, that actually the Paris talks wouldn't deliver on the one side, not on the ambition we need, so according to what science and equity actually tells us, and it would also not deliver for the people, specifically, of course, for the poor people in the South. And that's really, for us, quite threatening and dangerous to see. And when you look further as well, I think one important point is what was partly discussed in Bonn are the so-called pre-2020 actions and activities. So that we actually need to really not only talk about the Paris Agreement, which covers all the post-2020 actions, but we really need to find a much more, a better agreement and deeper emission cuts for the next few years, so the pre-2020, and that should be based on the one side on the fair shares of the remaining carbon budget, and it should specifically target the developed countries, which has the, as we know, the big historical responsibility, and they currently, what we see currently is rather an escape of the developed countries in terms of their commitments they have to do and in terms of their historical responsibility mainly. So from that side, I think it's quite disappointing to see this slow progress, and I'm not very optimistic to see an outcome for Paris in December.
Okay, Susie, we have been reading that the G7 countries made some promises of emission cuts by mid-century and also for the end of this century. What does Friends of the Earth Europe think about those promises from the G7 countries, Susie?
Well, of course, while we see it's important that the G7 countries talk about maybe decarbonization or end of fossil fuel, or at least how the media was spinning this statement or this political statement of the G7 countries, if that's important. But if you look actually what is really behind, it's just empty air, I would say. So it, if you see currently what those countries are doing on the other side, like take Germany where the G7 happened, they just a few hours later after the G7 statement, they actually agreed on not stopping coal or further coal investment and maybe giving specific sanctions or fees to coal power plants. But instead, they agreed the opposite. So the government kind of allows further coal investment in the future in Germany. And this is only one example of one of the G7 countries. And I think we as Friends of the Earth showed very clearly how big the fossil fuel investments in specifically G7 countries look like. And these are immense numbers. And so if we talk about a true energy transformation, then we talk about that this needs to happen really now. And we see a citizens' energy transformation is happening already. But that means clearly getting away from fossil fuel investments and building up new fossil fuel projects, and instead going really to a renewable energy future where the citizens are at the core in its future. And specifically talking about community-owned renewable energy. And within that, to conclude, I think we also need to really see, and specifically from the G7 countries, that actually the wealthy minority of the population really needs to curb the current overconsumption and also the waste, of course.
Okay, Susie, there are two other aspects which are very important for developing countries, and Friends of the Earth International and, of course, Friends of the Earth Europe have been doing very much pressure on that, which are the aspects of adaptation and also technology transfer. What could you say to us about those two different items? Did something important happen about that in Bonn, Susie?
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned that as well. I mentioned, before I focused mainly on the mitigation, the emission reduction area, and where developed countries are committed to put that in the Paris Agreement by end of the year. But the big bits which are missing, what you and partly you mentioned that, are specifically on the one side the finance and technology transfer to specifically the developing countries and those people who need it most, and also adaptation measures. And this is currently missing. And what I meant, developed countries currently try to take it out of the Paris Agreement, while developing countries, of course, rightly, want to have that very prominently in the Paris Agreement. And I think we need to go even one step further, not only appropriate or adequate adaptation measures and adequate finance, but we also talk about so-called loss and damage measures, which actually means the compensation for specifically the poor people and in very rural areas, to those people who can't adapt anymore. But we need to find specific measures for those people as well. And this is for Friends of the Earth specifically very important. So to really have a very equal and just element within the Paris Agreement.
Yes, yeah, Susie, I think you mentioned the loss and damage mechanism. So in this sense, any progress was made? Neither.
No. I think also that was not exactly the aim to really make progress. It would have been good to see more prominent discussions on that in Bonn as well. But we didn't see anything. What was I can't remember when it was. I think in Poland now a few years ago at the climate negotiations where this mechanism you mentioned was created. But since then we didn't see really no progress really on that in particular. So that's really something we saw. But maybe something positive I would like to highlight is what we saw in Bonn as well was quite a very structured interventions from most of the developing countries, including the G77 and specifically the African group, and also specifically that the African group brought further in the, they call it the Global Program on Renewable Energy, and including their community-owned initiatives, which is for us quite crucial. And if we could, for example, launch or the governments could launch in Paris such a program on renewables and see that this is one way forward, I think that would be something very positive for our global energy transformation. And we as Friends of the Earth, we work partly a lot with the African group on that, to also encourage them to make that proposal on renewable energy and including access to energy for all people and community-owned initiatives. We support them in that quite a lot.
Okay, Susie, it's very good that you mentioned the attitude and the work done by the African group in Bonn. And regarding this issue of energy, I was going to ask you, because I also read in the press release sent by Friends of the Earth International that several Friends of the Earth groups made a protest outside the UN venue in Bonn calling for energy revolution. So I was going to ask you what issues would you strengthen that are very important when Friends of the Earth Europe and Friends of the Earth International talk about energy revolution. What does it mean? So you can explain that to the people, Susie, because I also know that Friends of the Earth Europe has this point as a very important one, and you are working very hard in your continent about that. Susie, can you please tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, thanks a lot. So I think for us, when we talk about the energy revolution or the energy transformation, we really want to highlight that on the one side we see it has begun. So there is a change in our energy system visible already. And that means towards a more energy efficient system, towards a more renewable system, and with the citizens in the heart of that energy transformation. So meaning also the citizens are not only, they don't only participate in the energy transformation, but they also they should also own the renewable energy and have control over the energy system they are part of, and not big industry as it is still currently mainly the case. And I think that's for us quite important. And so we as Friends of the Earth this year really connect more and more the energy and the climate debate. And we, throughout the year, we want to mobilize people not only in Europe but across the world, and tell them that they should join this energy transformation how we see it, because we see when we are bringing more and more people on the ground together, we can put much more pressure on our politicians and on our governments. And we currently see this political will is not there, and it's not really there at the government level, and we need to put this pressure on our governments. And I think in that way we mobilize people throughout the year, not only bringing them on the street, but also online in a virtual human chain. And we want to create a bigger and bigger human chain to bring people together and connect them with resist against fossil fuel industry, and also celebrate the great community-owned initiatives which are happening across the world, and celebrate those together.
So maybe you can take the opportunity to talk about the new campaign and the new webpage that Friends of the Earth Europe and Friends of the Earth International launched, www.weareTheEnergyRevolution.org.
Yes, so that's exactly the webpage, weareTheEnergyRevolution.org, where we try to get people to be part of this mentioned human chain and to support our demands on the energy transformation, including those I mentioned on community-owned renewable energy and fighting against the fossil fuel industry, and also adding, or not adding, but also coming out with concrete actions on the ground everywhere around the world. That would be, I think that would be really interesting for us, so that we can connect around the world, and specifically also to showcases or stories of people. So we want to give everything also a face and want to show great projects which are happening on the one side, but also want to show really where people and communities on the ground are suffering and are threatened by the fossil fuel industry or by climate change impacts. So we are the energy revolution. We are the energy revolution, and power to the people.
Okay, that was Susan Schenkbach, climate campaigner of Friends of the Earth Europe. We know, Susie, that you are very busy right now in Brussels. So we really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jose.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.